Bad Tiki in an hour and a half. And one can only guess that Bad Tiki is going to have to say something about the bigger news story from earlier in the week, and that's you're dead to me between Tiki and Saquon. But I don't know. The wild card about Bad Tiki is you just never know.
That coward Saquon Barkley.
If you are just tuning in, it took Aaron Rodgers and his campaign about 22 hours to deny an explosive story that was posted by CNN late yesterday, right around 5 o'clock. And Aaron Rodgers responded to the idea that he is a believer in conspiracies around the Sandy Hook tragedy by saying, quote, "As I'm on the record saying in the past, what happened in Sandy Hook was an absolute tragedy. I am not and have never been of the opinion that even that the events did not take place. Again, I hope that we learn from this and other tragedies to identify the signs that will help us to prevent unnecessary loss of life. My thoughts and prayers continue to remain with the families affected along with the entire Sandy Hook community." Tiki, I ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
As someone that knows the NFL and really the NFL inside and out, and what I mean by that is not just playing football, but the PR of football.
Of course.
And also knowing politics. You've got a great knowledge of politics and the PR of politics. Was that statement more likely crafted by the New York Jets or Robert F. Kennedy for president 2024?
I think it was, we know that he's in Costa Rica, so he's on vacation. So the question of whether or not he was even aware of this CNN article is up for debate because he was on a retreat. I don't know exactly what he was doing, but
he was getting high, Teak.
Right, but it seems like it took a long time for this response. So what I think I would guess happened, the Jets can't have him being tied to being a denier of Sandy Hook. He just can't. It's a tri-state area. We know this. They hear it. They likely reached out and said, you have to respond to this. Now, the response is not, doesn't feel like a football PR response.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like a campaign response. So either he wrote it himself or he had someone who he knows in some PR campaign say, write this so it sounds correct.
The reason I disagree about the Jets' involvement, and I say this speculative, but I say it with history behind me,
mm-hmm.
is that when there was a story, again, not from Aaron Rodgers' own voice, it wasn't recorded, mm-hmm. it's not something he said, but when there was a story, as we cited earlier, of Aaron Rodgers talking about September 11th being a conspiracy, the New York Jets did not rush to have Aaron Rodgers deny it.
When did that story come out?
The story definitely came out, I think, before he was a Jet, in fairness.
Right.
But he was coming to the Jets, and he was coming to this community, and he was going to be Mr. Patriot on September 11th, the anniversary, mm-hmm. when he ran out with the American flag. It's something we all talked about. Now, it wasn't in the news as big as this.
Of course not. But I don't even remember it, to be honest with you.
But the Jets, and this is the only evidence I have of this, the Jets never felt like, oh, boy, he's got to go deny that. He never did. Never had to. So that's why this feels campaigny.
Yeah,
this feels like the RFK campaign saying, right. We got to do something about this.
But having a podcast of a former teammate is vastly different than a journalist for CNN writing a story that goes somewhat viral. It's just different.
It's different, but in a weird way, it's the same because it's both hearsay. It's both individuals
100%.
Just repeating what Aaron supposedly told them.
Right.
It's the same thing in that regard.
I know, but it feels different because it's a former teammate, and we know how locker rooms are.
It feels different. You know why it feels different? Because Aaron Rodgers wasn't a candidate before, and now he is. And that statement from 12:48 p.m. Eastern time, that's a political statement. And that's why, now maybe Rodgers and Kennedy are keeping this under the table just to continue to garner attention, which mm-hmm. is working brilliantly for the RFK Jr. campaign. Listen to the people on this radio station. Sal didn't even know he existed. Now, Sal may accidentally vote for him in November.
Mm-hmm.
It could happen. So it's working from that standpoint. And I heard G bring this up. Hey, this is great attention for the RFK campaign. Of course it is.
Absolutely.
But the question is, was this statement put out to keep the riddle going? Or was this statement put out to clean up a mess for the future vice presidential candidate?
I think it was to clean up a mess for potentially the future vice presidential candidate. But certainly clean up the mess for the starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
Brian is calling from Brooklyn. How you doing today, Brian?
G, Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're good.
Tiki, big fan.
Thank
I hope you get into the Hall of Fame, and I appreciate you getting it, Rasul, the other day.
I like it.
Mr. Roberts, I am fascinated by your evolving opinion on this matter with Mr. Rogers.
Go ahead.
I understand. I know you're a political junkie. I am one, too. I think you're minimizing what's about to happen if this is true. You're saying, yeah, he's going to be asked questions, blah, blah, blah. Yes, he's going to be asked questions. But these are going to be gigantic questions. They're going to be asked in one minute why you threw the interception against Buffalo, and in the second minute, the comment on RFK's Holocaust denial comment.
Yeah, it's no, I get you. I get you.
It's going to be gigantic. I don't think, are the Jets ready for what's about to happen, if this is true?
The Jets?
Are they the organization that can handle what's about to come their way?
I don't know if any sports organization is equipped, Brian, to handle something like that. And you're not even mentioning, speak on the validity of the Russian general election happening this weekend. I mean, serious. Vladimir Putin's up for re-election this weekend.
Right, he's up for re-election. Okay.
Exactly. It's okay, fixed, sure. But whatever.
Right.
Like, those are the questions that a vice president gets asked.
He actually...
Not necessarily because it matters, but you have to have an opinion as a politician that's going to potentially hold the second highest office in the country.
Yeah, that's not the worry. The worry isn't the political opinions or domestic issues or foreign issues. The worry is something he kind of went to, and that is the conspiracies. That's a worry because that hits us emotionally.
Yes.
His opinion on the Russia-Ukraine war... And I can still do this. I know you definitely can still do this. We can still have differences of a political opinions and be okay with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us can still do that. And I think that's okay. Right. And I would defend Aaron Rodgers with his political opinions, even if I disagreed with them. But when you go down the road of conspiracies, when you go down the road of Sandy Hook, or you go down the road of the Holocaust, mm-hmm. you go down the road of these kinds of things... Yes, that is something that's tough to get past when you're just a human listening. So, yeah, I would admit, especially with the RFK campaign, that being a thing every week is a problem. That being a thing every week could lead to unbelievable distractions.
Because you can't just say, I just want to talk about the game.
No, you can't. And I think those issues are far different than, okay, here's my political, here's how I would tax the rich. I mean, that's far different. Now, with that said, he asked the question, are the Jets ready for this? They are not. Will this likely fail? Of course it will. But what's the other option? Honestly, what's the other option? Is the other option to tell Aaron Rodgers we're done with you and go pivot and trade for Justin Fields?
Maybe. Put him on the, what is it, the reserve list?
Can you even do that?
Yeah, you can put a guy, as long as he's okay with it and he doesn't report.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You put them on the reserve list, so the contract kind of tolls, just sits there, and then you pivot. And then there are pivots out there.
Yeah, but I don't know if Aaron Rodgers would agree to that because it does sound like somebody who would try to do both. And if he wants to do both, then the Jets being uncomfortable with the questions he's being asked is not going to be enough to convince Aaron Rodgers in all likelihood, yeah, go on this restricted list for a few months.
But it's also the questions that the Jets are going to have to ask.
Yeah.
So the Jets PR is going to have to answer some of these questions when Aaron Rodgers doesn't. So it's going to get dicey.
I just need to know what the hell's going on in Joe Douglas's mind right now. Like, as he's analyzing his draft board.
God, why couldn't this have happened like a week and a half ago when they were at the combine? And they're like, he had to talk.
Yes.
Now they don't have to talk.
I know. Do you have Joe Douglas's number by chance?
I do not.
You have Robert Salas?
Yes, I do.
Could you throw him a dude, what's going on text? By the way, I would fully expect he's not going to respond.
Why wouldn't?
And by the way, just so that we don't get in trouble, can you say, hey, on the record, what the hell's going on?
Bad job by me.
Just in case. Let's go to Greg in Mayapak. Hey, Greg.
Thanks for taking the call, guys.
What's up, dude?
What's up?
You know, by the way, Evan, has Joe given you an opinion on all of this with Aaron Rodgers?
I have not heard his opinion quite yet on all of this.
We're afraid to ask Joe B.
Okay. I took a deep breath at the end of the season. I'm like, all right, Jet season is over, another disaster, gone. And now we're leading into the next season, and you can't make it up. He's gonna run for vice president of the United. I mean, you look back at Jets debacles and fiascos through history, and there's a whole lot of you couldn't make it up. But this is like out of. I mean,
it's just
does he really think that Saleh is the coach? Which means that Aaron Rodgers is the coach. So he's going to be the vice president of the United States, coach the Jets, quarterback the Jets, and we're going to win a Super Bowl while all of this is going on. I mean, this is another disaster in waiting.
But Greg, you're right in that this is a disaster waiting to happen. This is going to live in Jet infamy. You're right about all that. But what are you going to do about it?
There's nothing you can do about it right
now. We are in too deep.
You are beholden to Aaron Rodgers' whims.
We are, and we don't have a better choice. For anyone who says, blow it up. The other team that had these issues did blow it up. Well, and now look what happened to them. Right. Blowing it up is not an option.
But
people who say that usually don't care about the team. Am I wrong?
But you can pivot.
How do you pivot, Teague? Seriously. First of all, you need to speak to your quarterback and right. find out what the hell's going on.
So get clarity. If he really wants to do this, you say that's not acceptable for us. We're sorry, Aaron. So make a decision. Pick vice president, running mate with RFK Jr. or be our quarterback. You cannot do both. The Jets need to be firm on that. And if he says Robert is my guy, meaning Kennedy,
yeah, that's which Robert we're talking about.
Robert Jr. is my guy. I have to do this. I have to see this through. This is something that's really important to me. And he takes the season off. And then the Jets have to pivot.
Oh, my God.
And the pivot is easy.
Oh, the pivot's Justin Fields.
Exactly.
I don't think there's any doubt.
Justin Fields.
That's
makes the most sense. Because now, not that they're desperate because they have Tyrod Taylor, but it kind of puts them in a desperation mode to have a quarterback.
Yeah. Oh, and no, I think they're in desperation mode to have a quarterback if Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be the quarterback.
Now, it might cost them a little bit. But
no, it'll be the same thing as last year. The Jets and the Bears will stare each other down the way the Jets and the Packers mm-hmm. did, both knowing this is the only marriage that makes sense.
Yep.
And we'll all wait here for months and months yep. and months and months.
Right. And then come June, get this done.
Come June, the Jets will miss out on an offensive lineman because they had to move it back in the first round or whatever. Mm-hmm. I know that doesn't make sense with the Bears.
Right.
And they'll end up with them. But that's the pivot. But that pivot right now is not the ideal situation. The ideal situation is you make it work with him. What I want to know is have they communicated with him and has he communicated back to them with what's happening? Has he told Joe Douglas, look, this is a carefully crafted plan to bring PR to the RFK campaign and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to keep this thing a secret as long as we can till the 26th when Kennedy is set to announce his running mate. It'll be a big mystery. People will think it's me. I'm telling you right now, it's not. Has that conversation happened? Or is Joe Douglas, who's taken a nap for the first half of free agency, asleep on the couch with no idea what his quarterback wants to do?
That better have happened, by the way. What you just described, Aaron Rodgers explaining exactly what this is, that better have happened.
Has it?
I don't know.
Do you think it's happened?
No, I don't.
So you think the Jets right now are going about their business with no idea what the hell's going on?
Yes. Yeah, because he's in Costa Rica on vacation.
There's cell phones in Costa Rica.
I mean, but he's on a retreat in a Hiawatha dark space, maybe. I have no idea what he's doing in Costa Rica, but that's what it was reported.
And how is there no comment from the Jets?
Exactly.
Nothing.
It's been a week almost now.
Meanwhile, they're like, oh, yeah, here's Morgan Moses. That's great. Who's he protecting? Do they even know?
Well, see, that the fact that there hasn't been a comment makes me feel like this is nonsense.
Hmm.
That it's just a media ploy.
Right. I'll tell you, it's working brilliantly.
Of course it is.
Scott, I was talking about it. WFAN's given more attention to the RFK campaign than like any campaign in history, if I'm being honest. Ross in Bergen County. Good afternoon, Ross.
Hey, Evan Tiki. How's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
You guys, I love the show. Can't say it enough. You guys might be the only talk show in the country that in 2 days could fit both create chaos that spreads across the entire NFL and then 2 days later proceed to follow that up with a Yanny versus Laurel-like debate about Evan's urinal habits. So,
that's a good point.
The fact that you guys were exposed to First Take and everything and probably gained listenership from that, and that's what they got 2 days later,
I mean, it's absolutely incredible. Doing our job well in a slow time, right? Right, Ross?
And no doubt, man. No doubt. Love it. But anyway, I wanted to add this. I thought about this a couple minutes ago. Has it been talked about that if potential future Vice President Aaron Rodgers was still rushed by the Jets in a couple years, how would that pan out if the Bills or Dolphins won a Super Bowl and visited the White House? how would that pan out?
Oh, that's funny. It'd be even worse if the Packers won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you imagine that awkwardness?
Well, yeah.
Don't even speak that into existence. I know. That would be the crazy one.
I will admit, Ross, this has created some unreal scenarios that we have imagined.
But that makes it fun.
Yeah. Well, the fun scenario, the one that I find fun, is the idea that Rodgers does both. We see the greatest political upset in American history. I could walk you through how that would happen, but it would be crazy. Rodgers and Kennedy win, and then he gets sworn in right before the AFC Championship game. And we're sitting here debating what happens. Can the sitting vice president play, or do we have to go to the backup, Tyrod Taylor? Or do we go the third stringer because Tyrod's banged up, and do we start Tommy DeVito? Because I think that's the scenario we're looking at.
Right, because the Giants are going to draft a quarterback. They already have Drew Locke and Daniel Jones. And so Tommy DeVito's on the odd man out.
And he's on the Jets.
He's on the practice squad. He gets picked up by the Jets because of the New Jersey ties.
That's right.
They're actually in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It feels like it's perfect. He's right around the corner from home. And next thing you know, he's starting in Super Bowl 59.
He's starting because Tyrod's got a thigh issue. And he just can't play. And here comes Tommy DeVito to bring a Super Bowl to New Jersey. It's all a crazy, disgusting fantasy right now. Mike's in Flatbush. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Number one, both of my comments have to go to the question of availability. Number one, I looked it up, and you know, all of the candidates, at least with the two major parties, they get an intelligence briefing once they are officially nominated.
That's right.
Yeah.
The article said that it's not because they want, you know, this continuity. If they should get elected, you start day one running.
Right.
But the idea of on the campaign itself, we're not going to tell you what to say, but here's our, you know, bird's eye view from like the heads of the intelligence community. Do not say anything that would undermine national security. That's number one. So think about that. Put that in the back of your head if you're going to have someone like Aaron Rodgers running. Number two, going back to the reporting that has happened already in The Athletic, I want to read a little quote. Now, this is after they talked about how Rodgers busted his butt to get back from the Achilles. Wilson told coaches and teammates he was under the impression that he'd have a direct line to Rodgers even after Rodgers tore his Achilles and flew home to California for the surgery in the early stages of his rehab. Mm. Instead, Wilson barely heard from him.
Mm.
Availability. What is the priority? And it just as a Jet fan, it doesn't seem like the priority is ever the Jets.
All right. Couple of things, because you bring up some really good points. Number one. My understanding is that third-party candidates do not receive those same intelligence briefings that the major party candidates get. So this is not Biden or Trump asking Rodgers to be their running mate, which would be a far different story, by the way. So it's different. So I don't think, now, when it comes to Secret Service, I think he gets it. When it comes to intelligence briefings, I don't think third-party candidates get intelligence briefings. And I don't think the Libertarian candidate is getting intelligence briefings. So that's number one. Number two, I do want to mention what he talked about, and that is his availability last year. It's something that Sean's brought up.
Mm-hmm.
I look at a guy, and correct me if I'm wrong, as an NFL player, even though you were never hurt, so maybe you have no knowledge of this because you're always playing, unlike some others. Is it really a thing to always be around?
No. It's not.
It's not a thing.
Not. No. When you get hurt, especially when you're on a season-ending injury, potentially season-ending, because we didn't know. We didn't know if he was going to actually come back. But most of the time he was away, he wasn't available. He wasn't off the pup list. You don't see anybody. If you stay around and get rehab, it's in the morning or in the afternoon when guys are in meetings or on the field. Like, you don't see anybody when you're injured on IR. Most guys stay around and they rehab at home. Sean was upset because he was in California, but Aaron Rodgers can afford to go live someplace else and can afford to have his own doctors do his rehab and rehab specialists, etc. So for him, he wanted to be where he was most comfortable. So he wasn't on the East Coast.
Right.
He was at home in California, and where he had his doctors and people who did his surgery. So it made sense for him. I know in theory, in our minds, we say, oh, be at home.
Right.
You know, be at the facility of the team that you play for. Most people have to because they don't live somewhere else. And they don't have the resources and the doctors someplace else. The only place they have, you know, the Ronnie Barneses of the world is at home.
Right.
And so they stay close, and it's easier.
That's why, to me, when we talk about his willingness or his passion for the Jets or being all in, when OTAs occur in a few months, Aaron Rodgers was known as not going to the OTAs with the Green Bay Packers. Then with the Jets, he had a completely different attitude.
Right, every day.
If he's not at the OTAs this spring, I'll agree with you guys. I'd say, wait a sec, what the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that commitment to being all in? The evidence we have right now, to me, is just not enough. You know, citing when a guy's out for the season after a torn Achilles and saying, well, he didn't go to Buffalo, or he wasn't there enough for Zach Wilson. He's an injured player.
Mm-hmm.
And you're telling me, and I trust you on it, that that's not usually what happens.
Guys are away. And it's hard to get them to be around. I mean, we did the Indianapolis Colts, and we were talking about we talked to Gardner a lot because he was a starting quarterback. We had him a couple of times. Anthony Richardson, like they were saying, this is one of the games we did was the first time that he had been in an away game.
Mm.
Right? He wasn't around the team. He was doing his own thing. I guess he came to a couple of home games once he was able, was less vulnerable to injury and getting knocked around. But right, it's hard. And Anthony Richardson's the number one overall draft pick
right.
for them. And
it doesn't prove anything about Anthony Richardson or Aaron Rodgers.
Exactly right.
And it's another example of, I hate to pick on Sean, he hasn't said anything during the last 10 minutes, but I know the way you feel about this. It's just another example of using something out there to back your narrative. Which is, see, Aaron Rodgers isn't committed. Mm. Here's my evidence, even if it's not real evidence.
Mainstream media hating.
Yeah, mainstream media hate, like from Sean Morash.
Mm.
Typical mainstream media, right?
Yeah, I'm typical mainstream.
I mean,
really trying to get my gun.
Said nobody ever.
I'll make you this promise, because I'm not a hypocrite on this as much as you know some may think I am. I'm being perfectly honest about what I see. He's not at OTAs, I'll be very disappointed. I'll be disappointed because it'll show me, like, wait a second. You were all in last year. Right. What about this year?
You're not committed.
And he better be at OTAs when we were told in several bill of goods that the last 2 weeks of practice in December and January mattered so much for next year. So you better be at OTAs.
No, I'm with you, but I'm supporting that.
Right.
When he's not, I'm not going to need you to rip him. I'll join in. I'll say, hey, where's Aaron Rodgers?
I can't wait. You know what? I'll get a Philly Pretzel Factory platter that day. We'll celebrate. We'll hang out.
Well,
finally come over to this side.
Thank you. I was celebrating this morning because I heard two classic moments in the history of WFAN, and we'll get to it coming up, including the moment where I was vindicated about my padding. We'll explain it next, but first,
we have Yankee opening day news.
Really? A Yankee opening day starter?
Maybe. Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone talked to Marcus Stroman today.
After
the game. How do we know this? Because Marcus Stroman has told us this, or told Eric Bolin this. They talked to him about possibly starting an opening day. Marcus Stroman has declined to start Yankee opening day.
Get out of here.
He wants to stay on current rotation, which he said means he will start the third game of the season Saturday in Houston, and his second start would then be the home opener.
So is that Marcus Stroman preferring to pitch the home opener over the season opener?
I think just like he indicated the first time, I think Marcus Stroman, as a Long Island kid, is really giddy about starting the home opener.
Mm.
That instead of starting opening day in Houston, he wants to stay in line to start the home opener. Which, I'm going to be fair, I've killed him. You know what? At least he's consistent in showing that really does mean a lot to him because I said the home opener means more.
Just to give you an update, since Marcus Stroman decided to go on social media and rip Tiki Barber, he's pissed too.
Because I don't get it.
Because he doesn't get it. He's an old head.
Right.
Marcus Stroman is pitching to an ERA right around 9 because earlier today, pitched 4 1/3 innings, 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned. Gave up a home run. If I'm going to take my jerkness away and my loyalty to Tiki, that start doesn't really mean anything. He's just getting ready for the start of the season. But if we're going to continue to have some fun, he's been struggling since he took a shot at Tiki.
There you go.
So here's what this means for the symbolism of opening day, which does matter to a lot of fans, even if it's just symbolism. Carlos Rodon is not starting opening day. He's starting day 2.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus Stroman is not starting opening day. He's starting day 3. That gives you 2 real options. That is
Nestor
Cortez. I wasn't even ready with that one. Nestor Cortez, or that's too late, or Clark Schmidt. Those are your options.
Give me Clark.
Now, the Yankees could sign a pitcher. So, yeah, Michael Lorenzen could start the opener. I'm just kidding. I don't think anyone they sign would be ready for the opener. So, you're looking at...
It's too late.
Right. It's just too late.
Who are the two butt cheeks that we have maybe battling for the fifth starter? Can they start opening day?
Luke Weaver? Yeah, sure. Why not? Nah, I think we're talking about Nestor Cortez getting the nod.
Nestor Cortez.
Which I'm sure he'd appreciate. I'm sure Nestor would get a huge kick out of that. And I remind Yankee fans, like I reminded Met fans last night on the Rico, talking about the Mets opening day starter, Jose Quintana. It's just symbolism. It doesn't mean that much.
Unless it's at home.
Yeah, I think the home one, you know, that doesn't mean a lot.
If you're opening the season at home,
yeah,
that absolutely matters.
No, it matters, but it doesn't, is what I mean. Like,
well, it's symbolic.
Right, but do we remember who started opening day for the Mets in 2015? The answer is no. I mean, I do because I'm a sick freak, but like, it doesn't really matter.
I'm a loser.
So, the interesting decision by Stroman. Is it Stroman wanting to be on his days or Stroman saying, hey, I'd rather start Yankee Stadium?
If you're going on 5 days or the normal rest, 4 days rest, unless I'm a complete idiot, which is possible, I keep counting to Thursday and today would get you on that normal rest.
Don't overthink that because I'm sure Marcus and Carlos have their own system of, hey, I want to have an extra day here.
Okay.
So don't look into that. It's more, is it a schedule thing for Stro or is it simply... Hey, I'd rather pitch the home opener at Yankee Stadium.
I think he has been excited for a month that he gets the opportunity to start a home opener in the Bronx, and that means a lot to him, and he wants to do that.
Yeah, and I would guess that pitchers are nuanced in how they set up their preparation for the start of the season. And so if he was to start the actual opener instead of game three down in Houston, he'd have to change that.
Yes.
So it's the creature of habit thing.
Interesting. More of your calls coming up, plus... Vindication for padding. You'll get to hear it next live. What a day and what a week. I apologize. We'll get to my vindication on padding when I'm in the urinal a little bit later on. But I have not heard this audio. Apparently, Ryan Clark, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I guess he played for the Giants. I almost forgot about that. Ryan Clark has something to say about one Tiki Barber. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take it a listen. We'll listen to what Ryan has to say. And then, Tiki, you can respond. Because I'm sure this is a kind message that Ryan Clark has for you, correct? That's my understanding, that Ryan is being very nice to Tiki Barber in this audio clip we're about to play? Oh, no, he's not.
No.
He's not. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, unfiltered, Ryan Clark.
First of all, congrats to Saquon. Saquon earned that deal in Philadelphia, what he had to go through in New York to get through this point, being franchise tagged last year. Now we're going to get to Tiki. Tiki taught me what I didn't want to be as a veteran. Tiki taught me how you don't make a young player feel welcome, how you don't make a young player feel like this could one day be his team. The way he made me feel as a young rookie and a second-year player, I said, I don't ever want to be that dude. And he's continued to be that person. Like you said, he left football early, fully expecting to be on the Michael Strahan experience. But you weren't that dude. You also weren't liked and beloved like Saquon Barkley is. You weren't that sort of teammate that everybody rallied around last year. And here's what I do know. I know when I have a relationship with you, when I can joke. Mm-hmm. I know when I can tell one of the homies or some young man I mentor, or a dude I'm tight with, hey man, you're dead to me, because he knows he's never gonna be that. No. He knows the relationship that we've developed is way beyond the jersey that he wears. And don't try to backtrack it once you say it. Don't try to ingratiate yourself to the New York Giants fans who may feel the same way, who you said you're echoing, and then say it's tongue in cheek. Nah, stand on it. And when he calls you out, stand on it. And the one thing people like him taught me when I was in that Giants locker room is I'm going to have parties for the rookies when there's nowhere to go on the week they're trying to figure out if they're on the team or not. I'm going to host Bible study. I'm going to make sure you ain't using all your money at rookie parties. I'm going to make you feel like, when you the OG, that that's the way it's supposed to be done. And he never did that, at least as what I could see and the way he was to me as a player. And he's continuing to act the same sort of way in the media. And it's a reason people feel the way that he does, and nobody wraps their arms around him as a former player.
Mm. Wow.
Your response.
Wow, Ryan Clark. You are making blank up. Because you don't know me like that, dude. I didn't even realize how long you were on the New York Giants. Your first year, you were a practice squad player. And you're on the defensive side of the ball. What is he talking about? I didn't embrace young players. Ask Brandon Jacobs if I embraced him. Ask Derek Ward if I embraced him. Ask David Deal or Richie Sorberg or any of those guys on my side of the ball if I embraced them. What the hell is he talking about? It's like he's fitting a narrative because he's acting like I'm still a player when it pertains to my comments on Saquon Barkley, and he's kissing Saquon's ass to ingratiate himself with Saquon. His comments make no sense because he's not talking about somebody that he knows well enough to talk about. I honestly don't remember interacting with him as a player. I know he was on the defensive side of the ball. He's an undrafted free agent. I mean, I thought he was a decent player, went on, had an okay career, won a Super Bowl. I give him kudos. But now that he's the big wig at ESPN, he thinks he can just take shots and his word is gospel, right? That Michael Strahan isn't still my friend, that Sean O'Hara is not still my friend, right? That these guys who I played with and went in the trenches with aren't still my friend. What are you talking about, Ryan Clark? Talking about Bible study and parties for rookies when they don't know if they're going to make the team? What does that mean? It's an opportunistic shot that he's taking because he thinks that he's going to gain advantage by being a jackass to me. Congratulations, Ryan. Good luck in your career as well.
I like the... I don't really remember you. Like, were you on the Giants? That was my reaction. You just like,
no, I know. I remember him being on the Giants. Okay. I do remember him being on the Giants.
Not familiar with your work, sir.
He didn't have a big role on our team.
Yeah.
And he's on the defensive side of the ball. So why would I interact with him on a daily basis?
No, I think you are right, though, about the assessment. This is the chance to get news out of the news.
Yeah.
That's how I take it.
It's an opportunistic downstream attack on me because it fits the narrative that Saquon's and his people want to put out there.
Mm.
And it sounds like a beg by Ryan Clark. Look, I'm going to say this, Saquon, please come on my podcast next.
Right.
Which, by the way, where that came from.
I mean, and yeah, is Michael Strahan crushed it? Of course. Of course. When I left the NFL and went to the Today Show, nobody had done it. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. It didn't work out. I went through a horrible divorce because of a lot of things around my professional life. Right? So I sat back, got my mental health right, and started at CBS Sports Radio. And now here I am as the afternoon drive host on WFAN.
You see, that's what I'm bothered by. Does Ryan Clark understand you're sitting in Mike Francesa's seat? You're sitting in Christopher Russo's seat?
He doesn't care because he's got the big wig and got a new contract at ESPN. So he's important now. So, okay. By the way, my job is to be entertaining, to be informative, to sometimes be visceral. And when Saquon Barkley left the New York Giants as a free agent for the Philadelphia Eagles, we as fans have visceral reactions.
Damn right.
And I'm not claiming to be the voice of the people. I never even said it was tongue-in-cheek. People who listened to it said it was tongue-in-cheek. Right? If you watched it, it was tongue-in-cheek. So he's making a story that fits his agenda. And he doesn't know me well enough to talk about me. So shut the hell up, Ryan Clark. Please. You sound like a fool.
You better watch out. Bad Tiki's going to get on his ass, too.
I love it.
Good luck. You're dead to me.
And I could speak for this because I was once that guy. There is not a single 23, 24, 25-year-old kid that has walked through the doors at WFAN and CBS Sports Radio as a teammate of Tiki Barber, where Tiki isn't the first person asking their name, shaking their head, because it's the truth.
That's fine.
Do it. No, go ahead. There are a lot of guys with big egos in the history of this building that basically couldn't be bothered with you until you established yourself. But if you were in here for 10 minutes, 2 weeks, or 2 years, Tiki's been nothing but a great teammate. That being said, Tiki, as your current teammate, if you ever invite me to Bible study, just don't put me in that spot where I'm going to say no.
Yeah, ideally have a barbecue, invite Snooki over, and then invite Sean and I to your house.
That's right.
No. Excuse me, Loogie. You're not done yet. Now you're supposed to do your turn. You're supposed to... Your turn.
You don't need to, Loogie.
No, I do need to.
There you go. Let's go.
There's a friend of mine, big Giant fan. He used to go to all the training camps. No joke. He used to say, the nicest player on the Giants in all my years is Tiki Barber. And I love Tiki as a player. I love watching him on TV. And now that I got to know him as a friend, as a coworker, you won't find a better person, right, a stand-up gentleman.
Thank you, Loogie.
He is the most non-self. Like, you walk around this place and you go, everybody realizes he's Tiki Barber besides Tiki Barber. That's in person. That's. We went to a Yankee game. A kid walked up to him, a fan, and said, hey, Tiki, I'd love to have you on my podcast. He goes, here's my cell phone. Mm. I'm like, Tiki, this is what I'm here for. I'm supposed to be the buffer. You gave him your number. This is a first-class dude.
By the way, I got to write
giant
that kid,
legend.
He just wrote me. I got to write
that. There you go. Well, right. You're welcome for the reminder.
No, thank you for reminding me. Look, I'm not pretending that I'm perfect. I don't want to be perfect. Right? We're all flawed. We all have our issues. Sometimes we're really good. Sometimes we're really bad. A lot of the times, it's just a lot of the in-between. I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm trying to be good at my job. And I think I'm good at my job. And whether or not Ryan Clark cares about that, I thought I was good at my job as a football player for the New York Football Giants. I thought I was very good to the guys that came behind me. In fact, so good that they were better than me when I left. Mm. I mean, seriously, factually, they rushed for more yards than I did when I left. And they won a Super Bowl. And I have great relationships with the New York Giants and the front office, the coaching staff. So I'm not sure what Ryan is alluding to, but if you think it's cool and trendy to make me the bad guy because it makes you cooler and trendier, by all means, shoot away, Ryan.
Damn right. Shoot away. Here's my message. Here's my kiss-ass line. I do it very differently, though. Ryan Clark, go F yourself. There you go. That's mine. Now, you want to hear a real swerve here?
Nice and succinct.
I'm just a very succinct guy. I have belief. We are about to play more audio. And this is the swerve that I don't think anyone saw coming. What have I told you? We're about to play audio of Saquon Barkley apologizing to Tiki Barber.
Because
I think that's what we have.
There's no chance.
My interpretation is Saquon Barkley is going to apologize for his exit from the New York Giants. And that's how I take it. Is that not the audio, Sean? Did you lead me down the wrong road?
Well, I mean, we can hear the audio. It was more he was asked if there was anything you wanted to say to Giants fans.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, Tiki's the king of Giant fans, so I stand by what I just teased and promised. Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear from the real Saquon Barkley.
What do you say to Giants fans who were hurt by you leaving there?
Yeah, the Giants fans that were hurt about me leaving, I got nothing but love and respect for all those guys and, you know, all those ladies and just the fans. For the last 6 years, they've been great to me, to my family, created so many memories. I don't think I really handled it the right way on social media. I think I could have gave a proper goodbye. You know, like I said, once I announced, everything kind of got hectic. But yeah, I'm forever, you know, forever grateful for the Giants fans and so thankful for them. But unfortunately, you know, the NFL is a business, and I was able to get to a place that I know I can come here, I can compete, and I can win. I can stay close to home, and I'm just happy that I was able to, you know, be part of this team.
Yeah, I took that as him saying I shouldn't have attacked Tiki on social media. Did you not take it that way, or is that just me?
Everything got out of hand when I first announced. Right. That was a subtle way of saying, Tiki, I'm not going to apologize directly to you, but I'm aware of what happened.
Saquon Barkley was like quite literally one of my favorite Giants since I've been gone. He's a good kid. He's an awesome player when he's healthy. And I hated to see him leave. But as a fan, it makes you mad that he went to Philly.
Damn right.
It's as simple as that. I don't know why this gets made into something that Ryan Clark now has to respond to and make me out to be a jackass. Like, come on, Ryan. What are you talking about? We're talking about fandom. And Saquon, I think, understands what the job is that I do. So you remember two seasons ago, when we went over to Giants training camp. It wasn't you. It was me and BT. And I had met Dave's a couple of times. I called a Buffalo Bills game. So when we were over there, Pat Hamlin called me and said, Dave wants you to come talk to the team.
Right.
So I go out and I talk to the team. And Saquon, I see him. And he's like, oh, you're going to love what they're doing with this offense. It's great. We're going to use me in different ways. And I remember leaving that day saying, the strength of this team is Saquon and this offensive line. And I remember coming on the radio the next day and saying, I don't know how good they're going to be, but they're going to run for a lot of yards. And Saquon's going to have a great season. And guess what? He did.
Yeah.
So for him to also say, I've been a hater from the beginning and wanted to see him fail, That's BS. Because I've done nothing but espouse great things for him. But my point is, on the field, what I said to those guys is, I don't know if you guys know what I do for a living now, but I'm on WFAN. I'm across the water talking sports radios. I said, don't listen to anything that we say. Honestly, because it's not important for you. The only thing that the fan wants is to see you successful. And if you leave it all on the field, every bit of your effort, you leave it on the field, they'll love you because they want to see you successful. So just leave it on the field. That was my message. Mm. But it was also, don't listen to sports talk radio.
Right.
Right. Our job is to elicit reaction. Our job is to create conversation amongst the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who listen to this or consume it in some capacity. Right. It's not for you and it's not personal. But the conversations that we have are about fandom. It's about how we believe that things should happen, fully aware that we have no idea what's actually happening.
Right.
And so to get offended by something that happens on sports radio is it's stupid as a player because it doesn't matter.
No, you're right.
The only thing that you as a player can control is how you ball. And if you're great, it's what I said about Aaron Rodgers earlier.
Yep.
If you're great, nothing else matters.
That's it.
If you leave it on the field, nothing else matters. If you help your team have success, nothing else matters. Period.
The other thing is this. I don't think you or I or Sean or Lugie ever attempt to be the voice of the New York fan. We give our opinions.
Right.
And sometimes my opinions actually contradict what a lot of the fans of the team I root for actually think. Maybe it does today in talking about Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, you hit it right on the head. You're the voice of the fan. But you and I don't think anyone else really ever tries to be that. You just try to be honest. And the longer you've been away from playing football,
it's
the more
17
of
17 years, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt. It's a long time. The more of a fan you've become.
Of course.
And when
you can't help it.
Of course not.
Especially when you talk about it every day.
Right. And with the Giants more than any other team, you're a fan. I see it. I hear it. I have to deal with it all year, surrounded by all these Giant fans. So when you say, hey, you go to the Eagles, you're dead to me, that's not you attempting to be the voice of the people. That's just you naturally being the voice of the people. Because that's how we felt.
Right.
That's how I feel. I'm not even a Giant fan. And I feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to understand that. Let's get to some of your calls. Pete's calling from Deer Park. What's up, Pete?
Hey, TG, love you, man. I'm on your team. That egomaniac, he can kiss my, you know what? Okay. And I'm telling you, I would play for your team. I would run through the wall for you.
Thank you.
This guy goes to the stinking Eagles, and if even it worse, he could have went to the Cowboys. He could have went to any team in the world. But you got to tell me, this egomaniac, he's got to go. I can't stand listening to him.
I don't know who he's talking about.
He's talking about Ryan, but then he was also throwing in Saquon.
What happens. You got angry. People are angry. They're just angry at everybody.
I mean, Ryan's point. I mean, he's uninformed. He doesn't know me that. He doesn't know me like that. Mm. Don't talk about me like that because you don't know me like that. You don't know my relationships with my team, my former teammates, the organization. You don't know my relationships with countless people around the NFL. You don't know, right? But you act like you know. You speak in a nice, calm, controlled way and give this like perfect troll job, not even troll job, but kill job of me. And it's not true. Right, it's frustrating. I can't even like really fire back at him because I don't know him well enough to fire back at him. I hate the opportunism. I really do.
Mm.
I really do. It's disappointing more than anything because Ryan Clark is supposed to be ascending up this ladder at ESPN to be one of the great young black former athlete players in that team, at ESPN, and he's taken a pointless shot? Like, why? Because it made you feel good? Made you feel like you could inject yourself in this story? You're going to be the voice of reason for the player? For the Saquon Barkley's of the world? Come on, Ryan. You've been in it long enough to know that that's BS.
I think he's full of crap, too, for another reason, Tiki. These Saquon comments have been 3 days old. They've been a big story. And we know how the NFL players circle is. If Ryan Clark really felt that way about you, he would have spent the rest of his career in other locker rooms saying, you know who wasn't like this? Tiki Barber. Right. We would have had these stories by now, and other people would have spoken up and said, I heard Tiki wasn't the best locker room guy, but it takes Ryan Clark saying it now, again, trying to use the clout for his own podcast.
That's right. Opportunistic. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up? Listen, don't give this guy, Ryan Clark, what he wants. You're giving him publicity.
But I had to respond
to him. You guys don't need
to
defend. Okay, wait. Let me finish. You don't need to defend Tiki because anybody that listens to the show, Tiki brings a level of class that the show didn't have before.
I don't do that. Now you're taking shots at other people.
I'm sorry. Evan. Evan, listen. You have your moments, but Tiki's a class guy. You could hear it.
No one's disputing Tiki's class, and I am not trying to put my class up there. It just felt like you were taking a shot at somebody. That's all.
He kind of did.
Like, you can, it's possible to compliment someone without shooting at someone else. Right. That person doesn't necessarily deserve it. Loogie and Big Mac. He's not talking about anybody else. I can't imagine.
From the guy who pats his penis, he's going to give us a master class in having class, Evan. God. Okay.
By the way, I've been vindicated about that entire thing. Okay? That entire thing. And I also know how Craig feels.
Mm-hmm.
I'll explain that coming up next.
Yeah, you better.
Plus, no, it don't make complete sense. Plus, we'll get to more of your calls. And there's an Aaron Judge medical update that's sort of going under the radar. How concerned should you be about it? We'll explain what it is. Plus, more of your calls on our future Vice President of the United States of America, Aaron Rodgers. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.